Thank you, Winston, and our thanks to these men who have led us in worship tonight, to Tony for bringing these concerns and interests to our attention. And as he said, to these young men that have stood before us and offered service to God and training to be servants of his as they become Christians and members of the body of Christ, we're thankful for their interest and, as was said, for their families who support and encourage that interest, but especially, too, for these younger men in the congregation who trained them, as well as those who train our young ladies. So we're grateful for those readings from Proverbs chapter 3, Psalm 95, and Philippians 4, John chapters 10 and 14, and for the song led by Hayes, I'll Fly Away, which song I can't sing in church without thinking about Dwight Ward. That was one of his favorite songs, and he always led it with his customary zest and power. We have many good things to think about that we enjoy presently, and good memories of the past, the blessings that we've known for a long time. Turning your New Testament again to Colossians tonight, Colossians the third chapter. And we're going to use the verse that was our text for the sermon this morning as a keynote for the sermon that is presented tonight, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, it's interesting how a very brief expression, just a couple of words, can cast additional light upon a broader scripture, a passage, in this case, an entire epistle, and something that's emphasized in that epistle. When Paul says in chapter 3, verse 15, be thankful. If you've been reading and following him in this epistle to the Colossians, you've noted that he has been reminding them of all the good things they have from God through Jesus Christ. And he wants them to understand and appreciate all those blessings. And he encourages them to grow in the understanding of these blessings. Back in chapter 1 in verse 9, he says that he's been praying for them, that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And this will equip them for service in the kingdom of God, to which they have been transferred and out of the power of darkness. And they've been blessed with all these spiritual things from God, the opportunities, the knowledge in which they can increase, the bearing of fruit and good works, and their influence upon one another and other people. And at the foundation of all of this is that redemption, that reconciliation that we have from God through Christ, which we mentioned this morning. And so in these things, they can grow. They can be steadfast and not moved away and well-grounded in these things, in the confidence that if they remain right there in these truths of the gospel the rest of their lives, well, they will inherit what God has promised them eternally. And then in chapter 2, verse 3, speaking about Christ, he says, in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge to be found. They are secure with him. How much of it? All of it. It's all there. It's all with Christ. So you don't go to Christ to get some of this wisdom and knowledge and then go to somebody else to get the rest of it, or to a variety of religious leaders through the ages, to get something from Christ and then something from Buddha and something from Muhammad and something from another. Oh, no, you get all the truth in Christ. It's all there. Not one thing will be missing. And so he says to them in chapter 2 and verse 9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, that is deity, divinity, bodily. That's a mystery beyond our ability to comprehend. He came into this world as a human being, lived in the flesh with all that goes with being in the flesh except for sin. So he was born in one place, not everywhere. And living in the flesh, he couldn't be everywhere all at the same time. So he was born in Bethlehem, and then he was taken by Joseph and Mary. He didn't transport himself there. So he was taken there as a baby, a toddler, into Egypt, lived there for a while, then brought to Nazareth. He grew up there. And then at the age of 30, he went to the Jordan River and was baptized of John. He wasn't in India or China at that time. He was at the Jordan River that day when John baptized him. He wasn't everywhere in the world. Yet Paul said all the fullness of deity was in him bodily. And it still is at the right hand of God, resurrected from the dead in glorious form. And there it was that the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So, no, I don't claim to fathom that, comprehend that, how the fullness of deity could be in Christ bodily, but Paul said it was. So that was a man, yes, but much more than a man. But the point that Paul wants to go on and make is to his fellow Christians in the next verse. And in him, remembering who he is and what's in him, verse 9, in him, verse 10, you are made full. And the form of the verb used by Paul there is that you have come into this fullness, you have come to realize this fullness in Christ, and you remain there. And there's just no use going anywhere else. It would be in vain to go to anybody else and find this fullness. There's nothing lacking in Christ for what we need spiritually. So if we are in Christ, having been buried with Christ in baptism, raised up with him, and living that life of being raised up with Christ, not just being baptized, but by the power of God brought into a new life, if we remain there, we'll have everything we need now and forever. So it's a lack of faith to think that we have most of what we need spiritually in Christ, but we have to go somewhere else, to somebody else or to something else, and get more. Though all of it's here in Christ. And so when Paul says in chapter 3, verse 15, be thankful, that is after he has said all of this other, the reasons for this gratitude in our hearts. And casting light upon Paul's purpose in this letter, this gratitude means that we're not likely to be persuaded by those who would draw us away from Christ, telling us that you need something else. There's something more you need that you don't have in Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul said, I say this, that no one may delude you, deceive you with their persuasiveness of speech. Then verse 8, be careful about this. Take heed, lest there be anyone who would spoil you. The idea is they would plunder you spiritually. They'd come in like a conqueror and take over your life with their persuasion and rob you, really, of what you already have in Christ, through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world, the traditions of men. He mentions later in that chapter the precepts and doctrines of men. Why look to these human religious systems, human doctrines and precepts, when we have everything in Christ? So be thankful. You see how that casts light upon Paul's whole purpose in this letter, to encourage our faithfulness in Christ, our joy with our gratitude for all that we have in him. And right here in this context there in chapter 3, verse 15, he's been calling his readers' attention to a number of reasons for this gratitude, some of which we've really already expressed tonight in prayer, and what has been said about, for instance, the training of our young in this congregation, because Paul has been talking about the church here. When he speaks in verse 12 in chapter 3, beginning about being God's chosen people and putting on these qualities of life, he's talking about the fellowship of love and acceptance and forgiveness and mercy. And notice how he words that when he speaks about those those qualities. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another. And it's really what we find in Christ, because as Christ has forgiven us, we are to forgive each other. So Christ is at the foundation of this, the center of this, and he's the very model of this, for he is the head of the body, the church. And in this, we can have thankfulness that has to do with our assembly, like we do tonight, to worship, to come together on a regular basis as a congregation, to be able to depend on each other, that we will be here when we meet as a congregation, that we know each other, love each other, and together we serve and worship all the time. So that this faithfulness is an encouragement to us. And we know the necessity, and the value, the importance even of singing and praying, as we teach and admonish one another and worship God. And then the Bible study, the word of Christ, Paul mentions, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Pardon me for my coughing, I've got something caught in my throat. But and the condition in our hearts of having the word of Christ dwelling in us as a rich resource can only happen if we have a deep and abiding love for the Christ and all of his teaching. He goes on to expand this with regard to our families, marriages, our children, and how the gospel ought to guide us in those relationships. And it's with appreciation that we think about this and let the gospel be an influence in our homes and families and in our marriages. And the blessing of prayer that he mentions here on into chapter 4. And when Paul concludes this letter, he's talking about friendship. And so he names some people. And these are close friends in Christ. And he uses a word here in verse 11 that occurs only one time in the New Testament. And he's talking about three men who are fellow Jews, but they're also Christians. And they've been close to Paul in his work. There have been so many of his fellow Jews that refused the gospel. And some of them have persecuted Paul. And they've been a hindrance to the work. But he thinks about these men. And he said, these are fellow workers for the kingdom of God, verse 11. And these men, he said, have been a comfort to me. A comfort. And that's the word I'm speaking of here. This is the only place that it occurs in the New Testament. The word that Paul uses in the Greek language. Now, there are other words that mean comfort, but this is the only place that this particular word is used in the entire New Testament. And that one-time occurrence perhaps reflects how much these particular men meant to Paul in his sufferings, in his disappointments, in his losses, the things that have caused his heart to be broken. These men have understood him and they've been close by. Paul said, these men have been a comfort to me. We received a very kind and encouraging card from Paul and Janet Key the other day, in which there were expressions of comfort and encouragement, and in which she also mentioned that Paul would be home on the 14th of December. And we want you to know about that and pray for them and pray for his safe travels and for his work. And we look forward to the opportunity that he will be able to visit with us and speak to us about the work in Cameroon. Be thankful, says Paul. And he tells us some reasons for his gratitude and reasons that we can have in our hearts too and be thankful. We sang a song about the sweet hour of prayer a few minutes ago, and the editor of the songbook has done a very good job in selecting scriptures to go along with the meaning of these songs. And I happened to notice that one of the scriptures he selected for the song Sweet Hour of Prayer is Psalm 65 and verse 2. And I want to read the first four verses of that psalm. not only because of its connection with that song, but its connection with our lesson tonight about grateful hearts. Psalm 65, beginning at verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou wilt forgive them. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. And we read these words as a Christian. And we think about Zion, and we think about God's house and the temple. We think about the gospel and the church and the blessings we have together in the body of Christ. And I draw your attention to that line. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Paul said, be thankful. You are so richly blessed in Christ. Let us stand and sing the gospel invitation.